saw Shiloh recently about a discussion of a pilot light. If it's for the purposes of Bishul Akum, is it sufficient for a Jew to light a pilot light on an oven and then to utilize that for cooking, or is it not sufficient and it would be considered Bishul Akum if a goy actually turned on the oven or turned on the burners on a stovetop and cooked, even though the pilot light was lit by a Jew? So it happens to be this shayla is not so halacha lemaisa in most homes because most homes do not have ovens that are lit with pilot lights anymore. They usually have electrical starters. But it is very relevant when it comes to kashrus organizations because I don't really know the metzias so well, but many factory ovens, I believe, still operate using pilot lights, or at least they did as of 10 years ago or so. So that becomes relevant when it comes to that. Normally speaking, I think most poskim do not prefer the use of pilot lights as a heter because the Ramah's Kula, which is the Ramah in the Halachos of Bishul Akum, discusses how much involvement a Jew has to have with the cooking in order for it to not be considered Bishul Akum. And he has the Kula against the Mechaber that if a Jew adds a log, if he throws in a kisim, I think Lashon is over there, that's already enough for it to be considered that the Jew was mishtatif into the Bishul process. Certainly, if a Jew lights the fire, that's better. But even if he just adds a log to the fire or he does a little bit to make it better, so the Ramah is willing to be makel under those circumstances. The Mechaber does not hold that way. The Mechaber holds that it's necessary for a Jew to actually be mishtatif actively in the cooking process. It doesn't have to be the whole time, but at least to go over to the food and to flip it over once or twice, or to do something to participate actively in the cooking process for it not to be considered Bishul Akum. So, based on this, some of the factories where it doesn't like the kashrus of the factory wouldn't really require the mashgiach to be there every day. So sometimes they're going to be shutting off the they're going to shut the ovens off and on every day. But if the mashgiach came in and lit the pilot light at some point, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, a year ago, maybe that's enough that's considered that the Jew lit the fire and that everything that comes off from that fire is just a result of the fire that as a result of the fire that was lit by the Jew. So maybe that would be enough to be makel. And I think that's what many kashrus organizations utilize. Now, the main reason why they do this is not because they think that in a Jewish home this would be a fantastic heter, but in a factory, I think they'd be more willing to be makel. Why is that? Because the entire institution of Bishul Akum was done for the sake of chasnas, of intermarriage, which is that, if you start to, if you have, let's say, a non-Jewish neighbor and they start cooking for you and they start providing you with food, so it obviously makes the relations much more cordial, and a person tends to feel a sense of closeness to someone, especially invites you for a home-cooked meal, everything's glatt kosher, it's everything's delicious, and they say, "Oh, who cooked this delicious food? It was my wife, my daughter, etc." It causes problems of certain levels of closeness that Chazal wanted to avoid in order to put up fences to avoid intermarriage, mishum chasnas. And based on this, most poskim are not that concerned that if you go over to a canned goods that were cooked in a factory and you enjoy a delicious can of Green Giant green beans, assuming they're kosher, I'm not saying they are. You eat some Green Giant green beans that were steam cooked by a huge machine, 500 cans at a time or whatever, and you say, "Oh wow, these are such delicious green beans." Wouldn't be a good example anyway, because that's a halacha in Bishul Akum called ne'echal kishehu chai, something which is enjoyed and eaten while it is raw. It's not considered that the goy added very much improvement to it. All right, but let's assume for argument's sake it wouldn't be that type of thing. You enjoyed some baked beans, let's say, or something. A little bit better. That would also be olal shulchan malachim. I'm getting myself in trouble here with too many details, but you found a cooked item in a factory that was so delicious. You're not going to then start looking around to see who's the guy who's manning the factory over there and whether or not you can possibly create a relationship with him that's going to lead to some sort of intermarriage. I don't think anybody's very concerned when you go to a supermarket and you see some mass-produced item on a shelf that you're going to want to go and marry the guy's daughter. So based on that, they're willing to rely, as long as you're technically fulfilling the letter of the law that the Ramah laid out there, then it's okay, even in terms of the because there really is no spirit of the law here. We're not really so concerned with the spirit of the law, so it's enough to follow the letter of the law. Just wanted to bring your attention, if you look in the Sefer Halichos Shlomo, in a section on the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when he talks about the minig to not eat paspalter during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, he says, and they quote in the, you know, they have two levels of footnotes there. There's like the footnotes where he says over the lumdus and the makoros behind the halachos, and then there are the footnotes where they have little stories and random side points. So in the stories and random side points footnotes, so they go through a whole long letter that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote to one of the major kashrus organizations in America, decrying the state of the kulas that they rely on when it comes to bishul akum. It's just a very different way of looking at things, and certainly Rav Shlomo Zalman was no stranger to practical halacha l'maisa psak, and yet this is more of a spiritual comment, but it's certainly worth noting in all of these areas. He said that you're living in America where you have the highest intermarriage rate and this major problem of intermarriage that the Jewish people pretty much have ever faced. And here you are making kulas in Dafka and Bishul Akum. But it makes sense. The kula makes sense. It says, yeah, the kula makes sense. But Chazal had a Kabbalah that doing certain things will lead to intermarriage and avoiding certain things will avoid intermarriage. So yet you come along. The thing that Chazal said will help avoid intermarriage, and the thing that, you know, and you're being makel with that. Saying, in Eretz Yisrael, we have other issues, but we don't have intermarriage problems. In America, we have intermarriage problems. How could you possibly be finding kulas when it comes to Bishul Akum? Bishul Akum is what Chazal said will help, will hurt us by leading to intermarriage, and avoiding Bishul Akum will avoid intermarriage. So wouldn't we want to do everything in our disposal to gird ourselves and avoid violating Bishul Akum or even relying on what would otherwise be legitimate kulas when it comes to Bishul Akum? This is a place where we should be as machmir as possible. So again, practically speaking, I don't think anybody accepts that halacha l'maaseh, but it's certainly a very refreshing, very spiritual approach to understanding the words of Chazal and understanding, and keep in mind, this is not, he's not saying this in a drasha or in a shmooze. He's saying this in a halacha. He thinks that this is something that should affect the halacha. So it's just a very interesting perspective to appreciate.